Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Game Train podcast. I'm Callan. I am back after my technical hiatus. And joining me, as always, is Carl the Lyrical Smith.
Oh, hello. Wow, what an intro. I like that.
I know, right? Freaking bow down to this man who held the reins last week after my technical fail.
That was fun. That was
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep, that's right. But yeah, we're back this week. Or I'm back this week. And with all our normal segments, etc. And we are reviewing Pokken Tournament DX on the Switch this week.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. But first, before we get into all that, the news.
Playdead, the makers of Limbo and Inside, have announced that Inside is coming to the Switch. But all we know is it's coming sometime in the future. But that is pretty exciting. Seems like a perfect Switch game to me. To be honest, I love that game. That was my game of the year last year.
The game Vampyr has been delayed until 2018. It was originally supposed to come out near the end of this year, but has now been pushed back, like feels like the majority of other games.
Also, we've learnt that Nintendo might be finally getting some sort of achievement system on their console, on the Switch. This comes via the developers of the game Lichtspiel, which I think is German for Lightspear, which recently saw a release on Nintendo's Switch. The developer of the game responded to a fan in an AMA for their game, and they said, "Nintendo doesn't have an official support for achievements and leaderboards like Sony or Microsoft, but we know that they're working on it. We'll see how it goes, and we'll add the rankings along the way." And then another fan naturally caught it, and thought of it as a possible leak in the previous response, and then the dev responded with, "Oops, move it along, nothing to see here." So, yeah, that's interesting. Take what you will from that information, but it sounds promising to me. So I hope those guys don't get in too much trouble. But yeah, we'll see what kind of Nintendo twist they put into this achievements concept.
A Resident Evil 2 board game is coming. This went up on Kickstarter and has already been fully funded in an hour.
Factions are back for Destiny 2. They just released yesterday, I believe. If you're listening to this on a random day and you don't know what that means, that was the 26th of September. And that's anyone who played Destiny 1 would remember there's three different factions. They all have different sort of shaders, special outfit pieces and weapons. And you do different missions to help them out, just like little patrols, and you build up your reputation with them, just like all the other characters. It's a bit of fun. It kind of looks like an event type thing in you know, you might know from other MMO games where if you go into one of the hubs, there's flags up and it looks like a bit of a festival happening there. So a bit of fun. If you haven't jumped in the last couple of days, go check that out for something different to check out.
Australian pricing is apparently coming to Steam, so no longer will us Aussies have to try and work out how much to pay for games from the US prices. We'll finally have our own prices coming up on the screen, which will be fantastic.
Video game voice actor strike set to end. Okay, we get this news from IGN, actually. The Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, has announced the video game voice actor strike will come to an end. Now, it's been running for nearly a year. The strike against 11 video game companies has reached a tentative agreement, which will provide performers with a new bonus structure in the form of an additional payment. That's pretty interesting. Hopefully, we'll see a lot more of these voice actors coming back into games, and that sounding good. But, you know, I hate to say it, but I haven't really felt much of a dip. It's been actually great in the last couple of games with voice acting and performances. So, if it's going to go up from there, that's awesome. And I'm all up for that. But yeah, more news on that if you want to check it out on IGN's website. Also, last chance on some of this stuff. I'm just going to let you guys know for anyone who's missed it. The PlayStation Plus games, which are only running for about 4 more days. So jump on that as soon as you can. That's Infamous Second Son for PS4. Child of Light for PS4, Riggs Mechanized Combat League for PSVR, Truck Racer for PS3, Handball 2016 for PS3, We Are Doomed for PS Vita and PS4, and Hateful Boyfriend for PS Vita and PS4. Also, on the last few days, Xbox Games with Gold, Forza Motorsport 5 Racing Game of the Year Edition is running for until the end of September. So a few more days there. And Battlefield 3 for Xbox 360 is running till the end of September. Oxenfree is still up, but that will stay there till October 15th. So, yeah, there's that.
And that's the news for this week.
Right.
So, into games we've been playing.
We've still been playing a lot of Destiny 2, which yep. will probably start to die down in the next couple of episodes, but I'm not sure when. But right now, we've still been putting a fair few hours into that. I jumped into factions yesterday, picked mine, Monarchy all the way.
I also picked mine, Dead Orbit.
Dead Orbit, the old favorite. A little bit emo, but I mean, that's all right.
It's the voice actor from Prison Break.
Yeah, I mean, see, where's the strike there? Zur started his thing. I don't know if we mentioned him last week, but he did his second round. He's the mysterious salesman that pops up every weekend for Destiny 2. And so far, my reaction's been a bit eh.
Yeah. I mean,
in Destiny 1, he had so many different things to sell. You know, he had like different colored fire that for the rockets in your Sparrow. Like stuff like that. Like so much fun stuff. So people were whizzing around with like big tails of purple light. And I mean, granted, they added that in later on, but so was Zur in the first place. And they have simplified him. He used to have like two or three different currencies for different things. And you have to do like, you could only get specific currencies, like three of coins and all that from doing specific things in Destiny. So it was really hard to save up. And now you just break a bunch of legendaries and you've got currency from. So I don't know if I'm glad. I mean, it is a lot easier, but it seems too easy. But then again, the stuff he's selling isn't as special. So I don't know. Hopefully, we'll see this weekend if, you know, maybe the first 2 weeks he was just selling sort of bottom-of-the-rung stuff for early comers. And the other thing I tried on Destiny was playing it with legitimate earphones, which was just next level. I don't know if anyone out there has been playing Destiny on just a TV. You know, if you're not using surround sound or earphones, please do one of those things. And I haven't yet, but I intend to do the whole campaign one more time, which will be my third time through, with earphones, because just the sound design and the like the orchestra and the actual music, the soundtrack is just this whole other level. It's absolutely stunning. And had I done that, I would have probably even boosted my score a bit more, to be honest. It's just this whole kind of, and you know, Callan, you know, and any of you listeners know that I like to be engrossed in my games and taken away. That's why I play. And this does that awesomely. So I had a lot of fun with that.
So I played some more Destiny 2. I started my third character. It's going all right, you know. I'm looking forward to trying out the raid eventually. I think that's the only thing that's really keeping me on there now, is getting up to that sort of level.
Yes, the raid. I still haven't jumped in. I just can't quite get that. I mean, I know there's saving and checkpoints, but you kind of want to get like a good 5 or 6 hour slog just to do that, you know, first initial burst. And it's just hard to coordinate with six people.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's the thing, like just trying to get the amount of people on required to do it. It's funny because I used to, you know, play World of Warcraft where you'd have 40 people to do a raid.
Yeah,
for several hours, you know, and now it's like it's hard getting six. So it's
But I mean, it's six like friends, and it's hard when you do it with 30-year-olds.
Yeah, it's true as well. Yeah,
like there's lives and all kinds of different things in there. It's hard enough just to do a round of Crucible for 12 minutes.
Yes, that's right.
But one day when the planets align,
I also picked up Metroid Samus Returns on the 3DS. Which came out the other week.
Bastard.
Which is awesome game. Like, I absolutely love this game so much. It's a remake of the Game Boy one, which was called, I think, The Return of Samus.
Yeah.
And, they've fully revamped the game. They've added to the map and given Samus some new abilities. You know, you're hunting Metroids and all that. It's a lot of fun.
And there's an actual map now, right?
Yes, there is. So in the original, there wasn't a map. So now there is, and it's kind of a complicated map. And I can't even fathom how people used to play it without the map, like backtracking and all that sort of thing throughout the game. But yeah, look, it's great. Like if we were actually reviewing this, I'd probably give it a solid 9.
Wow, nice.
What it lets down for me is a big one, actually, is the controls.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a fan of the little joystick analog thing on the DS. And yep. Just trying to do things quickly, like turn into a ball really quick while something chases you, like it's kind of frustrating when you just can't get that motion going properly on it. Just things like that.
Yeah, that does sound annoying. I mean, I wish I could have an opinion. Yep. I'm so jealous you get to play this.
But yeah, like I'm like, I think I'm 22% into the game now or so on the little stats menu.
I mean, how many hours do you reckon?
I've been going about 8 hours, so I reckon it's going to be easily a 20-hour game.
That's a big game, man.
I know. Yeah, it's fun. So if you've got a 3DS, I recommend you go get it, because it's probably the best 3DS game that's come out in quite a while. Wow. The other thing I keep thinking when I am playing it, why isn't this on Switch?
Yes.
Why isn't this
on Switch? I think that right now, and I'm not even playing.
Yeah, because if it was on Switch, that'd be great, because just the controls are just better on the Switch.
They must know that. It must be just to sell more 3DSs, right?
Well, actually, what's really nice is the 3D in the game.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It adds a lot of depth to the backgrounds, and it actually looks really nice. I don't play a lot of 3DS games with the 3D on, but this one I had been, because it just looks really nice.
Damn, well, I'll have to have a look on your 3DS.
And, yes, you will.
Share some opinions on that.
Mm-hmm. And also, just quickly, I jumped into Fortnite again the other day. They've released a Battle Royale on there. It's your standard 100 players on a map. You all parachute into an island with no weapons, Hunger Games style. You got to find a weapon. Last one surviving wins.
Yep. I hear there's a little bit of legal issues with Epic Games there. I don't know too many details.
But then
that
surprises me at the same time, because, well, really, it goes back to H1Z1, King of the Kill. Which was, again, that Battle Royale mode, and then Public Unknown's Battlegrounds has come on after that. It's like...
But I think they're sharing the Unreal Engine, or the Epic, or something like that. I think that might be something to do with the issue there, is it might be clashing with a similar company.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Like I said, I only just caught wind of this news, and I wish I had more details. But, you know... In saying that, I think they, I know it's very similar, but there's that, Fortnite has that whole building mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. So you can build in the Battle Royale in this one. Which, like, normally you're like running around, maybe trying to find somewhere to hide if you're that sort of player. And this would just build yourself a little fort.
Yeah. A million miles up.
Yeah.
And just try and sniper from up there.
Yep.
I haven't tried it, so I'll have to jump on and give it a go.
Yeah, yes, please do. But, yeah,
I jumped for the first time. I'm not sure what this is going to do, but I jumped into World of Warcraft just to have a look, because I never have before.
Oh, yes, I want weekly updates on this one.
Yes, all right, you'll get them. We'll see. I don't know how much I'll put into it, but, it was interesting. I only just finished downloading properly today, so I had a very scattered, while it downloaded play, I created a character. What did I make?
You made a Night Elf Hunter.
A Night Elf Hunter is what I made. We'll see what happens. It's kind of nice, but like I told you, it just really made me want to go back and play WildStar, because it reminded me how much fun I had in that. And WildStar was just like this modern, futuristic space, complete copy of World of Warcraft. But because it came out so many years later, just the animation was just so nice. It was really funny, tongue-in-cheek, great design characters and world. Very similar, like so similar to World of Warcraft, but just kind of, they kind of just push into that cartoony. It's just so same, but I loved it. I love my character. There's a lot more like control of the creator character, which you guys might know I'm really big and into. I didn't realize in World of Warcraft, you just choose the face and then off you go. which, you know, I was very surprised at. I wanted to have a bit more control of my body shape and size and height, and I like that kind of stuff. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I got some new shorts.
Cool.
And that's about as far as I got.
Wonderful. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more of this as the weeks go on.
We'll see what happens. I'll have to rock, paper, scissors with WildStar, World of Warcraft, and Destiny 2 on my free time. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's what we've been playing. And so now on to the shout-out for this week.
Yes.
It's the guys at Journey into Comics. This is a comic book podcast from some Americans. So if you're into comics, etc., go check them out. You can find them on Podbean and iTunes, etc., etc. Journey into Comics.
Nice. Yeah, that's something I'm keen to actually check out myself, because I, you know, as a fan of all the comic properties, I'm not actually a big comic book reader, and I always want to be, but I don't know enough. And it kind of like World of Warcraft. I never know where the hell to jump in. You go into a comic store and it's so overwhelming. I'm just like, oh, I'd love to read these, but I feel like I missed the boat 30 years ago. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably a good way to start and get your head around it, have a listen to a few of these episodes and see what they recommend and where they throw you around.
Oh, yep. So from there, we're going into our review game this week. Pokken Tournament DX.
Woo! All right, let's do it, Nintendo.
So, Pokken Tournament DX. Now, the original of this came out on the Wii U 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, the Pokemon Company developed the original, but Bandai Namco Entertainment has developed the DX version, which is pretty much like Mario Kart Deluxe version of the game. And this is also, published by Nintendo. Yeah, so it's nice. It's a fighting game, really. It's not like your normal Pokemon where you're going out on a journey and catching Pokemon. This is actually like a proper sort of fighting game in your style of Street Fighter or Marvel vs. Capcom.
More like Tekken.
Yeah, exactly. Like 3D-ish. Tekken, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's 21 Pokemon in this that you can play as in terms of fighters. So I think there was only like 16 in the original, so they've added a few more this time.
Yeah, not the biggest number I'd hope for, but at least it's more than the Wii U.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, it looks very obviously like Pokemon. It's got all the sounds there, you know. The classic old Pikachu.
Wow, look at you go.
Look, I'm a massive Pokemon fan. I'm a huge, huge Pokemon fan. I love it. I can't wait for the RPG version to come to Switch.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that as well. And I've never played a proper Pokemon game ever. So.
Yeah. But then when I got to like the character select screen in this, like one of my favorite Pokemon, which is actually a fighting type Pokemon. So each Pokemon is like, there's all different types of Pokemon, like fire or water, ice, you know. But there's also like a category called fighting Pokemon. And he's not even in this game. And it's a fighting game.
Those, what are Hitmonlee and Chan?
Yeah, Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan are two fighting Pokemon, and this one's the Primate, which is like my favorite one. Yeah, they're all not in the game, but we've got two Pikachus.
And two Mewtwos.
And two Mewtwos, yeah.
I'm torn, because if you're a big Pokemon fan and you love Pokemon, then the chances of, you know, what is there, like nearly 600-700 of them now? I don't know. The number's huge, but the chances of like your favorite one being in there and not being in there are quite big, so there's room for disappointment there. And as someone who's not a huge fan like myself, I feel like this would have been a really fun way to discover them and get to know them really quickly before like the big RPG came out.
Yeah.
You know, if 'cause I don't know, bar like the first 150 a million years ago and even barely them, I don't know a lot of the Pokemon. So I thought like just choosing one and jumping in and learning its moves and getting to know it as its own entity, this would have been a nice, quick sort of... Well, yeah, I don't know what I'm asking for here. They obviously couldn't put 500-odd...
Yeah, imagine making 500 movesets in a fighting game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but... So I don't know what I wanted. I just know it was more than 21 Pokemon. They do include them in, like, the support Pokemon.
Yeah, there's, so there's a lot more in there. So you can bring in support Pokemon. You can choose from two sets of two, and they just, like, jump in, like, it might be, like, an Eevee, which, like, heals you and raises your attack, or things like that, you know, just little things like that, or a Litten, which will come in and, you know, shoot fire at the enemy. And
some of them weaken the enemy, some speed you up, some make you do double jumps, which is... There's a lot of interesting little gameplay elements in that, and a lot of strategy, so that's kind of cool.
Yep. One thing that really put me offside at the very start of this game was the tutorial.
Oh, man. Don't even...
Like, it dragged on for so long, and the woman's voice was just so grating by the end of it.
That voice acting, yo!
Yeah, it was kind of flat, you know?
That's where I felt the strike, I guess, right there.
Yeah, it was just a hard tutorial to get through. But once I got through the tutorial, the game felt a lot better. Like, I sort of understood everything that was going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, she talks you through it when you're playing the actual game. I wish I knew that. I would have skipped the tutorial. Because as soon as I started going, like, finally, I can go play the game, she's like, you know, throws overdo the blocking. And then, if they're throwing you, you can counter with these. And then... make sure you do this. And she keeps, like, she gives you a lot of hints. And, you know, you can change that. You can tell her to give you none or less or more in the settings. But it's all there. And I don't know. I felt overwhelmed with that tutorial because I thought, wow, they're telling me so much. This must be the only place I can hear it. So I listened to every bit of that tutorial, which just took ages.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they talk you through it anyway. I'm like, well, I wish they kind of just threw me into the game and talked me through it a little bit more with a little bit less of the actual tutorial. And then, I don't know, maybe paused it every now and then and said, oh, here comes some support. Let me tell you how this works. Now back to the game. I don't know.
Yeah, look, the game, like, runs pretty smooth. It, like, looks pretty.
Yeah, the graphics are very nice. I couldn't stop staring at the fur. So the texture is really nice. It really impressed me. I keep choosing different Pokemon just to see how they look.
Yep.
There, because I've only ever seen them, you know, like 2D and cartoony.
Yeah, like, and it's just a slick feeling game, I feel. It was like super smooth. I played through the game as Scizor.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So, as you go through the game, you get experience points and you can level up your guys. So I think I got him up to like level 77 by the time.
Wow, nice.
So I actually got through through the end. I rolled the credits and stuff on it last night.
Nice, well done. So, and how do you feel about the story?
Story was so-so. Like, it was very, you know, like, go to tournaments and then other things happen. We don't like to talk about story points here, so we won't go into all that.
Yep.
But sometimes it just felt like the story was a little tacked on. Your normal story mode is sort of like you go into, like, a tournament and then you start off with, like, a ranking, so you might be rank 40. Then you have 5 battles and then you'll go up a rank and then, or up several ranks. And then when you hit a certain rank, then you go into a knockout tournament. And then when you win that, you fight like a boss trainer. And then when you beat them, then you sort of go up into this as a sort of like the next level of league. And it goes on from there.
Yeah, it's a little bit formulaic. Like, it reminds me of the old Mortal Kombat games where you're just climbing the tower.
Yes.
So it's, which, you know what, I have to say, it felt a bit dull, but it's fine in a fighting game. I kind of wish they did this in Marvel vs. Capcom instead of trying to force a story in that just cheapened the game or made it seem worse.
Yeah.
You know, this was like, the story's there, but it's not like joining every fight. And then he came.
Yeah.
And you fight him because of this. It's like, no, there's just 20 guys to fight. You're trying to be the best. The end. I'm like, thank you. It's not the best story, but I don't need a story. I need solid fighting and enjoyment in the actual gameplay in a fighting game. That's what we're really after.
Well, I got enjoyment out of the fighting in this. Like, I felt like, you know, if this is your first sort of fighting game, it's a great introduction into fighting games, I felt.
That rock, paper, scissors thing is actually really fun to stay on top of.
Yeah, like move A will beat move B, move B will beat move C, but move C will beat move A, pretty much.
Yes, yeah.
And I think for like someone's first fighting game, this is a great one to get into because the moves are really simple. Like a lot of special moves are like just back an A or forward an A or up and, you know, like that sort of thing. Quite easy to pull off.
It seems easy, but the challenge in this isn't about trying to pull off moves like it is in Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. The challenge is the timing and when and where to put those moves in.
Apart from the your league story mode, there is like daily challenges you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also just your normal single battles against the computer, and then you can go online and fight too. So I went online last night and had a fight last night.
Oh, how'd you go?
I won.
Nice.
Yeah, jumped on with old Sizzle because he's the only one I seem to be playing as.
Yeah, yeah. I did. What's her name? Gardenia,
is it?
Gardenia? Yeah, sorry. I just never remember them. But yeah, I played as her for my play.
Yep.
Play through the game, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. I didn't do any online. I wish you and I had a fight.
I know. That's the only thing that we should have done. But
we will have one and talk about it next week.
In terms of the online, though, it was so easy to get into. I just click online, it throws me in, and then within 5 seconds, I had an opponent select my Pokemon, bang, into the match, off we go.
Wow, it was really good.
And I felt no lag, really, as well. Like, now, in a fighting game, you don't want lag. Obviously.
No. Yeah, yeah, true that.
It was really, really smooth. On my end, at least. I don't know how the other guy was going, but...
wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was really... I was like, wow, this is actually really, really good online here, actually.
Also worth mentioning is their new edition of the 3-on-3 fights.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which are really cool. Like, I mean, there's... Again, it kind of almost really rubbed in the fact that there's only 21 to choose from. Because once you're doing 3-on-3, you're like, well, there's all the characters. Not, I mean, it's not that bad, but, you know. But in the other way, it made it seem like there's so many combinations you can do, and it really changes how the fights come out, especially with your support Pokemon and the three that you choose versus their three, and seeing who counters which Pokemon better. And that's kind of a whole different thing again.
Yeah.
And that was quite intense for something that was... quite initially simple. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, the fighting is so simple with just like back attack and down attack doing different things. So having that intenseness of like all the different Pokemon and strategies all at once, it was kind of cool that the actual fighting itself is not too cumbersome and too confusing, because your brain is micromanaging so many things in the fight. And it is kind of fun. Like, I did enjoy that.
Yeah, I guess with the 3-on-3 battle, it's almost like what the normal Pokemon is like, where you normally have 6 different Pokemon you choose from, then you send one out at a time. It's kind of like that, you know? You got 3 to choose from, send one out at a time. Yeah.
See, I don't know Pokemon, so...
You will when the RPG eventually drops on Switch, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
I'm feeling it'll stop the world is just again. Waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be one of those sick days games.
Yep.
Dressing up my trainer was more fun than I expected, and unlocking different things. You barely even see them.
Yeah.
But your actual trainer sort of avatar jumps up every time you do a super move, or like, you know, his or her, you can be a boy or girl. They just like come out on the side and go like, yeah, go do your thing. And they just appear there for a second or on top of your stats. But they have all different kind of outfits, hair, hats, you know, glasses, facial features, and you unlock different ones by doing different things in the game, and you go in and change. They even have like background things like feathers or flowers behind them, or like facial expressions you can change. I don't know. I guess I just like editing characters. I spent a lot of time in there. And it was pretty fun.
Yep.
But yeah, it really has nothing to do with the game, but just something, a little extra thing to do.
Very cool. Well, if you like Pokemon and you like fighting games, go get this. You know,
if you haven't played it on Wii U.
Yeah, unless you're a super fan, then also then go get it, or you've probably already got it at this stage. But I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10.
I gave it a 6.8. I did enjoy the actual fighting, but yeah, like I said, I wish there were a bit more Pokemon. That tutorial really bugged me. The voice acting gets a bit annoying. You can turn it off. There just wasn't as much content as I wish there was. And I don't know. There was just something... Nothing was really bringing me back in there. But again, that's probably because I'm not a Pokemon fan myself. So that's speaking from someone like completely out of the circle. If I was a fan, it would probably be closer to about a 7.5 in that kind of... I assume. But for me personally, yeah, I gave it a 6.8.
All right. And that was Pokken Tournament DX. Right, so this brings us to this week's backtrack when we look at this week's history in gaming.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Boom. Yeah, okay, so this is where we just go and pick something that happened. I try my best to pick something that happened on this particular day, but usually it's just within the week that we record this, somewhere in the history of games, something interesting that happened. And this time I did find one that was today, being the 27th. The 27th of September in 1983, Atari sends 14 truckloads of computer equipment, including 6 million ET cartridges from the Atari 2600. The game was so bad that they buried it in landfill and cemented over it.
Wow.
And it was believed for a while to be an urban legend, like a myth. And there's actually this really cool doco out about it that you can watch on Netflix. God, I wish I remember the name right now, but if you Google 6 million ET cartridges or buried ET games, I'm sure that'll come up. But they found them. They went and dug them out because, you know, people were saying, like, is this a rumor? It sounds like one of those things that's an urban legend, like this game's so bad they buried most of them in landfill. It sounds ridiculous. Sounds like something you tell your friends in the playground, but it was real. They found them. That's where they went. And, oh man, if you don't have an Atari and access to this game, which I assume is most people, please go watch a Let's Play. It is hilarious. Even if you just watch it for 2 minutes, this game is straight up awful.
Wow.
So bad. All right. Yeah, did you ever get a chance to play it, Callan?
Nope.
Oh man. Oh, it sucks. I played it a long time ago, and it was, but for me, when I was younger, I had this just huge collection of Atari games. I don't know where it came from. We were in the Solomon Islands. My parents just had this giant bag full, and so many of them, like this one, I just put in. I didn't have the original boxes or manuals. I just had the cartridges, this huge bag full of cartridges. So I'd just stick it in there, sit back and start playing it, and just go like, nah, no idea what's going on. Eject. And I was like 7 or 6 yep. years old, so I very rarely knew what was going on. Some of these, like, there was one that was drag racing, and I thought there were two giant ants walking around just because the graphics were so bad. ET, next level bad. So that's what happened back in 1983 on this very day.
Well, there we go. All right, now on to our passenger questions. Listener Ooh, questions, yes. whatever. yeah. All right.
Let's see. We got a few this week.
We do have a few this week.
Yeah. You've got one you want to start us off with?
Yeah, sure. This comes from Nate Phillips. So he's one of the hosts from the Journey into Comics podcast.
Yeah.
Now, we have answered this question before, but he's got a bit of extra to it that we haven't actually answered. Yes. And he said, if you could reboot any one video game series that has never been given that treatment, what would it be? Would you keep the original story intact or try to see the reboot remake in a different way?
He must be referring to similar things like the new Tomb Raider games. You know, like they rebooted everything
yeah.
and just kind of kept the spirit alive of what Lara Croft is. Even her age was different.
Yeah.
You know, and her like... Just sort of, I guess it's like every time they redo a Batman comic, and it's like, right, his parents are dead, so he's angry, and he wears a bat costume, the end. Oh, he's rich, you know, like, but everything else kind of changes each time, so I guess it's that kind of thing in the game?
Yeah, I guess, it'd be like, imagine taking something like Final Fantasy VIII, right?
Yeah.
And then changing the story in that.
Yeah, I mean...
You wouldn't do it, would you? Because the story is so key to that game.
It is the game, yeah. It's like changing... Well, I don't know, like, at what point does a remake become a sequel? Like, you couldn't take Uncharted 4 or even 1, you know, and remake that and change the story. Because then it's just a... I mean, I guess that's a reboot. I don't know.
It's Yeah. Tomb Raider. So yeah, where does it come a remake into a reboot? So yeah, look, if I was to see stuff remade, like San Andreas, like to see that remade, but keep the original story, keep the original voice actors, because Samuel L. Jackson was awesome in it.
That whole game was awesome with the voice acting.
Yeah, yeah. Itself. All they have to do is just, as we said last time, is just put it into the GTA 5 engine.
Yeah, so, and that...
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I mean,
yeah.
It just takes so long probably to make, but...
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what else in that kind of...
Yeah, Vagrant Story is another one I'd like to see remade. And really hoping that they do that.
I guess my answer to that question is in most games that I'd choose, you know, is no, that I wouldn't change the story. Because if I want a game remade, I'd it's because I love the game as it is.
Yep.
I don't know. But then again, like, it's hard to make that choice because, like, if I would never have predicted them to remake Tomb Raider the way they did, and I just adore the last two, like the reboot, and they did just that, like they changed everything. But that's more like a sequel. You know, they just changed the name. Like, the new God of War that's coming out. That's kind of a... You know, they're just calling it God of War, and they're calling it a reboot, but it's just another story.
Yeah.
It's a whole different game. It's not really a remake of anything. Like, and same with the Tomb Raider. These are, like, all, yeah, like, reboots within a franchise.
Cool.
So, I don't know, like, the first Pokemon... games, what were they, like Red and Blue?
Yeah.
Put those in some epic new school.
Oh, look, I could see Nintendo fully doing that for the new one, just going, alright, we're going back to 150 Pokemon, you know, you're in the original region, but they just changed the story. But it's still the same story, you're a kid going out on an adventure with Pokemon, you know.
So, I guess I'd choose that, because then I'd get to play it and relive it, but in modern sort of
graphics. I'd be stoked with that, actually, I'd be happy. Or, actually, I was thinking about this the other day, probably the first 250 I'd be happy with, because 150 in some areas was a bit but probably the all the way up to the end of Gold and Silver there
nice
would be quite cool. Alright, so what's the next question?
Next question is from our friend Brendan Hawkins. And he says, this one's a bit fun: you guys always sound like you're having so much fun on the podcast. Woohoo, I hope we sound like that today. We hate this.
Did I ever say I hate video games?
Whoa. I was wondering, he says, I was wondering what your origin story is. Did Carl see Callan and go, man, that dude has a killer beard, I should talk to him? Or was Callan a groupie following Carl around the country to all his shows until you found a mutual love of gaming? How did you decide to launch an awesome podcast together?
I actually don't even know this guy that I'm talking to.
This, sorry, sir, Callan... Callan Davidson?
I don't know who he was.
We just picked him out of a hat. We went to this scroll random person who was looking for a partner. It's kind of like matchmaking on Xbox, but for podcasts. And we just went, yeah, that guy. Oh, Melbourne? Oh, crap. Oh, well, guess we're doing this. No, the real story is that second one you said, where Callan was a groupie following me around the country.
That wasn't even true either. Man. No, I've known Carl, or he's known me, we've known each other for a long, long time. Since...
It has been a while.
01, 02?
Yeah, well... Back then. So, 15 years?
Yeah, around that, and...
I believe our love of gaming, like when we realized that we, you know, started talking about gaming, I'm pretty sure it was Final Fantasy X, maybe, was the first time we actually spoke to each other about games, between rap, hip-hop, and breakdance meetings.
Maybe it was Final Fantasy X, yeah, and I still remember going to your place and playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas there.
Yep, in the garage.
Yes. And then we lost contact for years. Didn't really talk.
Yeah, we just... Well, because we live in different states, you know?
Yeah, and we're doing different things and stuff.
You
and
went to Germany or whatever.
and then, yeah, when I came back to Australia, I remember him posting about Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yes, Metal Gear 5 is what brought us back in contact. Yeah, cause then we just...
And we started talking about that. And then...
On Xbox Live or something, hey?
Yeah.
Fallout 4.
No, Fallout 4 was after that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Final Fantasy 15 was the other one that we started talking lots about.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one day I just went, hey, do you want to do a podcast? And he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
yeah,
I guess. I remember saying something like, oh, I'm pretty busy. I don't know if I have time for it. And kind of like, what, time to play video games, talk about it? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That is all I do.
Yeah.
So, and then here we are.
Yeah.
A few silly pictures later and a few, like, trying to figure out what our logo would be and what our name would be. That went for ages.
Yep.
Kudos, Callan, on that name. It ended up on your selection. We were every name under the sun.
Yep.
But yeah, and here we are.
Cool.
Thanks, Brendan, for the question. One last question, a quick one from... I mean, we couldn't finish questions without a question from Reef.
Oh, of course.
And Reef has written in here to Reef's Game Train. He said, when you go to PAX, can you please live stream some of it since I'm missing it?
No, nope.
That's not really a question, more than a request.
Yeah, can't do it, sorry.
Yeah, nah, not going to happen.
We didn't get media passes, so we're not allowed to shoot on the floor at PAX.
Yeah, so we can do it outside,
mm-hmm.
and we can go, like, check out that building. There is some great stuff happening in there.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to film inside.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can take photos, so maybe if we...
We're allowed to take photos. Anyone can take photos. We're just not allowed to stream from the floor. We got to have, what... The streamers have to have, what, 30,000 followers or something?
Yeah, so that's on you guys.
Yeah. You know? All right, Reef, friends. Get 30,000 people, follow us, and then we'll stream for you.
If you can do that in like 3 weeks,
then
hell yes,
yes,
it is all done. I'll even wear one of those like GoPro chest things and just keep it on all day. And you can come to PAX with me, like in that Her movie. But yeah, no, sadly, we won't be able to do that. We could maybe just snapshot one of those, you know, those... multi-photo things where you just get 1,000 photos and we could animate it all together.
Yep.
But that would take about 12 years by the time we're finished. So yeah, sadly no. Thanks for asking, but
yep. Maybe next year.
But you should just come to PAX. Whatever it is that you have, cancel it. You know, wife having a baby, I don't care. Getting a promotion, don't care. Just cancel it. Come to PAX with us.
Yep.
Sorry, Lauren.
All right, so that's the listener questions this week. If you remember, if you've got any questions, please send them in. We'll answer them on here, you know,
best as we can. Send them to our email, which is gametrainpodcast@hotmail.com, or send it anywhere as a comment, as a message, or anywhere on our Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/gametrainpodcast.
That's right. Okay, boom. So now we're on to final segment of the show, which is the Lame Train and Hype Train.
Oh, right. I shouldn't be that excited for Lame Train.
I know, you got really excited. So, with Lame Train and Hype Train, we like to talk about the things that upset us during the week and the things that have got us really excited and hyped.
Yes, yes. So, we'll start with Lame Train, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah, Lame Train kicks it off first. This was actually my one from last week, but I'm using it again because I didn't get to talk about it last week. So, when I... when I went and bought Metroid, Samus Returns the other week, I wanted to get a little amiibo with it. Anyway, so I go into the store and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get Metroid in. Can I get one of the new amiibos that have come out? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're sold out. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool, you know. This is 2 hours after the store's opened or whatever. It's like, all right, stuff like that goes pretty quick sometimes. They're like, yeah, yep. Yeah, me and my coworker, we got the last two. I'm like,
man,
are you kidding me? Just tell me it's sold out.
Low.
Don't you and your coworker just go and friggin' take the amiibos for yourselves? Like,
yeah. Sorry, we nabbed them before you guys could even come into the door.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, cheers, guys. Thanks very much. You know, if there's excess stock, yeah, go nuts. But man, you know, as a consumer, I felt really ripped off at that stage that I miss out on something because the store guy takes it for himself.
Well, collectors. They take pride in being like, I mean, you know, there's a whole other run of, you know, the Super NES minis now. But like the ones who got in early, that's kind of a collector's thing where, like, if you just walk in any old time and buy games whenever, then you don't have those things. But if you're a collector, you're ready and you get there early. Or some people don't have cars and, you know, they have to take two or three buses just to make it right at opening. And they go like, right, this game's coming out. I know there's not going to be a lot of copies, so I'm going to get there at opening time. I'm going to run in and get some. And if you've taken two or three buses, you've walked, you know, ages, you're a young person who's just keen to be a collector, you've saved up and you're like, right, I'm going to get this cool amiibo. And you walk in and find out no one's been in this shop but me today. This game has just come out. No one's been here. I'm first. I walk in and go, cool, can I have one of those amiibo? And they go, oh, sorry, we only had two, but we nabbed them both. And it's like, well, you don't get to do that. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
the shop hasn't been opened. I don't feel like they have a right until it's sellable. Because how does that person that's traveled and worked and waited for that moment miss out?
Well, it wasn't like that for me. It just annoyed me that it was like, you know, you just can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I know you.
I know you're using it like a story there, but yeah, it was just a bit frustrating. That's all. That's my lame train for this week.
Mine is, I don't have a 3DS that works. I can't justify it because of how damn good the Switch is at the moment, you know? And I really want to play Samus Returns, and I feel like I don't get to play that in full, or Bravely Default 1 and 2 and all the other epic releases out there, you know? And the new Super Nintendo, that new 3DS XL looks amazing, but I feel like, it's my own personal lame train. I wish I had a 3DS that worked right now.
Well, so, yeah. What you do then is move on to your hype train.
Hype train.
Boom. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. My hype train, which I'm sure is a lot of people's hype train right now, is I, myself, and you, Callan, we get our Super NES Mini on Friday.
Saturday. Wait, what? Is it Friday or Saturday?
Whoa, I think it's Friday, man. I'm pretty sure they come out on the 29th.
Whoa, what? I thought it was the 30th.
Yep, let's quickly Google that.
Yep, okay, let's have a look at this. Yep, September 29th. Oh my gosh.
There you are. Yep. You're welcome. My hype train is now your slight hype train as well.
Oh, whoops. I thought it was Saturday, because I was going to put it off to Sunday, because busy Saturday. Oh, wow, yay!
Yeah, right? Now there's a hype train. I hyped you. That's good. Anyway, while Callan goes to get the champagne and celebrates his extra day of Super NES playing, I will just let you guys know that we're going to be adding a new weekly edition within our games we've been playing segment, which you know, will just be the Super NES mini game we've been playing. And alphabetically, we're going to go through every game on the list, which is 21 games.
Yep,
I believe. So we'll play together because, I mean, luckily, Callan just got his in the nick of time. So we'll both be playing every game on that, playing the heck out of it, and sharing our thoughts.
So you know, our first game is Contra 3.
How's that for your hype?
I think it should have been A Link to the Past, personally.
Oh, come on. Is hardly a thing. We're not going to use and we're not going to use the. But because
okay, it's what about Super? Because every game on there is Super.
As I'm saying, because it's part of its like classically named thing, we have to use the Super. Because I mean, Metroid and Super Metroid are two very different games.
Yes,
you know.
But
so sadly,
but no, it's Super A Link to the Past. You don't call it Link to the Past. You call it A Link to the Past.
Oh come on! Have you been to a single library or like a JB Hi-Fi ever?
Well, actually, A's it'd still be under L because it's Legend of Zelda. But yeah,
yeah, but not A. Or The Legend of Zelda. But yeah, what's your hype train, sir?
My hype train is October. Okay, so yep. October's, I reckon it's probably the biggest month of games this year, maybe.
Yeah, since Breath of the Wild month.
Yeah, it's normally November, but I think October's a bit bigger. With, like, you got Shadow of War, you got South Park, and then you've got Game Day, which is...
Game Day.
Which is Assassin's Creed, Mario Odyssey, and Wolfenstein 2, all releasing on the one day. Plus, we're also going to EB Games Expo. Plus, we're also going to PAX. And this is all in 1 month. So that's why I'm hype for October.
Yes. Yeah, that is That is very true. And EB Games Expo is, when is that? That's like next week? Week after next?
Yes, 7th and 8th of October.
Holy moly.
And then, that is, PAX is 27th, that's 28th, next week. 29th of October.
Yeah, nice. Well, I mean, guys, jump on EB Expo if there's still tickets available. It is just next week. That's going to be awesome, especially if, like, I mean, so we're split here. There's Team Callan over there in Melbourne, which is the PAX team. And then there's Team Carl, which is here in Brisbane and Gold Coast. And that's the EB Expo team. So, you know, if you're on Team Carl, then jump on this because this is kind of the biggest video games only expo that happens in this area. And we don't get it here a lot. Like a lot of the times EB Expo is in Sydney. So this time it is back in the Gold Coast. It's a lot of fun. We will be in there doing some video content. We do have media passes for that, so we'll be having a lot of fun in there. We'll be going with our tech guy, Genghis Tuan, filming and recording some fun stuff and doing some sort of EB Expo special podcasts next week. So yeah, get on that, guys, and come and say hello if you see us. We'll be running around with Game Train shirts on, so you'll know. Just look for the logo. And if you see us, come and, I don't know, throw something at us. Cool. Soft, plush style, maybe.
And, and that brings us to the end of the show. But,
boom.
We'll be back next week, but on a delayed day next week because Carl has too much other stuff to get done that week. So we'll be actually releasing on Thursday rather than Wednesday as normal.
Yes.
And next week, our feature game is Cuphead, which finally comes out. So that comes out this Friday on Xbox One and PC, which is the 1930s animation inspired platformer.
Yeah, it looks like the old before even Mickey Mouse sort of things.
Yep. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, we've got all of our normal segments, etc., and we'll bring you all the latest news as it's happening. Also, remember everyone, Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer drops this week, or big news on it. So we're hoping for maybe a release date or a nice story trailer, gameplay trailer, something cool.
We'll see. So that's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, jump on their Facebook or just keep hitting that refresh button on Google. And but, you know, as soon as it comes out, we'll put it on our Facebook and that'll be available right there to see as well.
Yep. All right.
Awesome, guys.
Cool. And as always, like our page, like our podcast, follow us. Get your friends to follow us. Get your friends of friends to follow us.
Yeah, I mean, if they like games, don't be one of those guys that just send it to random people who, like, only listen to golf podcasts just because we said so, because that'll actually make them hate us.
Cool.
But if they like games, please let them know.
Yep.
Have a chat. Bam.
All right, and that brings me to the closing fact for this week.
Yes, what do you got?
All right, so StarCraft is the first computer game to have ever physically made it into space.
Okay, like the actual game itself?
Yes.
Went there?
Yep, it was sent aboard shuttle mission STS-96 on May 27, 1999 by mission specialist Daniel T. Barry, who is also a StarCraft fan. So there you go. Thank you very much, guys. We'll be back next week. Out.
Cheers, guys.
And this has been Game Train.